Hello, hello. This is Celeste with Blaze. I'm on the Sales Edge podcast. I'm going to get his name right. Bevilacqua, his last name, Bevilacqua. We met at Saster of all places, and I truly enjoyed my conversation with Blaze. We didn't really talk about product. We started getting in deep, and I was taken aback when Blaze told me he is in a sales seat. Well, he can talk about his role, but that he comes up by being a teacher. So with that, Blaze, give us a little intro into who you are.
Yeah. Thank you, Celeste. It was awesome meeting you a couple of weeks back. But yeah, just by ways of introduction, account executive here at User Gems, but before the whole sales world in a different life, right after university, I was an English as a second language teacher over in Korea for 2 years. So that's kind of where I dipped my toe in the water. And then once I moved back to the States, started the whole BDR life, and the rest is history.
Wow. What a story. There's, you know, a lot of parallels I'm sure you can derive from your time being a teacher. Really, it's this process that we're taking people on where we're trying to understand. My mother's an educator, trying to understand their learning style, what's unique about them, English as a second language, and now turning that around and doing that with your buyers, educating them, but also truly listening to them and what their problems are. So yes, I loved meeting you in the team. We had just chatted prior to the show about, holy crap, User Gems is all over LinkedIn, right? A small but mighty team. I'm loving the content that they're putting out, but really it goes in depth about real world environment and what is happening. So on the show, we like to ask individuals two questions. We will start with the first question. Blaze, tell us, as it relates to your role and what you're doing, what is your sales edge?
Yeah, I think one thing that I've heard from now customers is that I don't come off throughout the sales process as salesy. Mm-hmm. It's hard because it's like, it's not a tangible metric. And I think one thing that has helped like shift my mind completely, like when I was an SDR, I was like, book a meeting, get them on the book. I don't care if it's qualified. Like I'm still going to get paid. Fine. And now it's mostly like, as Josh Braun always says, like detach. It's way easier said than done. But I think if you truly can get into that mindset, it helps. And then it calms you down too. And it makes people feel comfortable sharing, you know, why they're in the evaluation phase in the first place.
Sure. Oh, I love that. So I talked with Riley Blaisdell in his episode, and he said it's this whole like stinky commission breath, right? Most salespeople are so worried about, especially today, we're recording this on the 26th. The 30th is looming, right? People are looking at what is happening, when are things going to close, and really detaching from that outcome so they don't come across as salesy, as you said. People can sniff that out a mile away. When do you think that shift happened for you from BDR to AE
to stop? It took a long time. Yeah, I think my first boss sensed I had this like significant rush of urgency. Like, okay, come on. Like the next step in the funnel is business validation. Let's get here. But I'm like, hey, you had like understanding the buyer journey. They may not be ready to take that step. And I think that took me like a year and a half. I'm a very slow learner to learn. So yeah, it was early, thank God, within my career to like have this mindset change. And it's been helpful.
And kudos to that manager. I don't know if it was a mentor or a manager who said, hey, I recognize this behavior. This is perhaps how it's coming across. And for you to take that, probably that teacher student, right, part, for you to take that in and say, oh, okay, how can I change my own behavior so it is not looked at as salesy?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's helpful because for all the newer reps, it's difficult with this new like remote work style, you know, just distributed teams. Thank God this all happened. Like he was sitting on a call with me and tapped me on the shoulder. So I try to impart that with newer reps coming up because it's difficult to read a room via Zoom. And that's like one of the most key things to do.
Yeah, Zoom has definitely made looking at, I guess, like the buyer's behavior in the moment, right? Is someone fidgeting? Are they on their phone? And you can't see like what their hands are doing, right? So you don't have no clue. Are they typing notes? Are they on their phone? Are they really paying attention? Are they picking up what you're putting down, so to speak? So I would say that has definitely made it difficult for all of us. And especially if you're the person that has a discovery call or whatever you want to call it, a sales call, and the other person isn't even on camera and you have no clue, like you cannot read it at all.
Yeah, then it just feels like it's a presentation if they're not engaged. But funny enough, I'm working a deal right now that's in the middle of the funnel, and it's with a publicly traded company. And the SVP of sales was just sitting there quiet the entire time. And it was just was not reciprocating. And I finally, and I think it's okay to do this, like call them out and say, hey, his name's not X, but right. Hey, Dave, like notice that you're pretty quiet. Like, is this any interest? Like, you know, you came to us and I'm trying to, you know, have a conversation here. And thankfully, like what I found out after calling him out, which I normally wouldn't do, but it was just such an awkward, you know, first 15 minutes that he was like, no, I really like this. I'm just thinking. And so being comfortable with silence is another thing, which is like a great skill to learn. But I, like after 15 minutes of silence, pretty much I'm just like, what are we doing here? Do you like,
right. Is this, and especially when the indicators are, they reached out to you. So there was some type of interest, right? You weren't reaching out to them cold and getting that, I hate to say like temperature check or like, hey, are we tracking on the same page? And I think that is totally okay. I know for myself, a little funny story. I once was interviewing and I was so bored during the interview. This was in my early 20s. I ended up getting the job, but I think I was so intent on listening that I probably had this like blank stare for forever on my face because I was just trying to soak in like a sponge what they were saying. And then the next interview, which was the final interview, they took me to lunch where I was a different person. I was like lively and it was more conversational. And then they told me later on, like, we thought you were going to fall asleep during that interview. Oh, but if they would have checked in with me during that, they would have seen like, no, I was just really listening. And so I think that is a skill that you have to be able to read the room and know a couple of those signals prior to making that assumption, because yeah, you could really piss somebody off. In your case, you didn't, and you went with that gut intuition. So kudos to you on that. And you'll have to keep me posted if that deal goes through, because we all know at this late stage of the year, things are getting pushed to next year. All right. So love that about the sales edge. Thank you so much for sharing that story, teacher, to your current role. Oftentimes when we come up through sales, I have a lot of bad practices, focusing like 15 years on BANT without knowing it was BANT because nobody called it that. It was like a check the box order taking type of sale. And we don't know it at times that we have bad behavior or we are following something that maybe we shouldn't follow anymore because it's gone out the way of the window. So I love to have guests talk about a sales myth that they want to either bust, exploit, or give us a new one so that others can learn from it and or take notes to enhance their own sales skills. What would that be for you?
Yeah. So I would say the biggest myth that I would like to bust is just because the C-level is excited about the project doesn't mean you have a deal. And what I mean by this, especially within like MedPick, like decision maker, like case in point right now, working a deal, the CMO is the final, it's the budget's coming from him. He's the one that is the most excited about it because it'll benefit his team the most. However, after looping in his technical counterparts to evaluate, they're saying that there's too many fires to put out. And this is something that they're going to table in 6 months. The discovery that was involved really touched home on how they're behind in pipeline, where they need to be. So like he understands conceptually, but because there's like this, there's other technical fires that need to be put out first before addressing his needs. This is something that's going to have to be stalled and put on the back burner. So it's a tough thing to know that just because you have a C-level interest doesn't mean the deal is going to come in at the time that you forecasted. It's not a matter of if, but when. But yeah, there are a lot of landmines these days, given the economy of, you know, buying committees getting larger and larger. Yep. So making sure that if there's one bad egg in the buying committee, address their needs up front early, make sure that they're on your side as well.
And then, yeah. And it's hard to, you don't have a front row seat into what's going on inside the organization. So you can look at problems, but a problem that's impacting a CMO, like you said, from the technical side may not be a problem to that technical team. And you have no clue what else is on their plate and what is coming up or some type of urgency. I had a call within the last week that's very similar, right? They know they're severely behind in pipeline. They've gotten a lot of funding in the past couple of years. Like, they're not tracking at all to get to where they need to be. Now, our team could come in and deliver a kick butt training and align the whole sales team. But we thought, you know, we need to take a step back here because there's company-wide issues that are going on that just working with one department isn't going to solve. And it kind of sounds like you're in that place. It's not a no. It is there's some other things that are going on that either take precedence, have to be fixed first before your team can come in. You know, this, in most cases, tech or a solution is no longer a check the box. It's really to enhance the performance of the team. But as sellers, we always put our blinders on and we think like, oh, it's just about the sales team. It's just about the marketing team. We don't realize like how intertwined all of these teams are. So thank you so much for sharing that. I think new reps often don't take a holistic approach to what else is going on within the organization, which is a whole nother topic. So thank you for sharing that. And I will say, but anything else to add to that?
Yeah, I mean, just to wrap it up, it does make you think like an executive because you have to think at an organizational wide level on like, and all the risks involved within your deal. So I'll leave it with that.
But yeah, we love that. I would you know, give a plug for the gap selling that really, we need to talk about big business problems. We can't be looking at, okay, how your feature benefits one part of the company. Like there's so much going on within an organization, and oftentimes it allows us to have a PhD within the organization, which means we have to go out and do our research. I talked with my brother yesterday. It was my 44th birthday. So he called me and said, thank you. It was like another day in the life. When you get older, you have to really go out of your way to celebrate, I'm realizing. But I was talking to my brother, and he's a junior partner at Ernst & Young, and he was talking a lot of technical jargon. And I looked at him like, I have no clue what you're talking about. And I realized a lot of the times our buyers, even if it's like this is our ICP, that can span across many industries. And if we don't take the time to do some research and really understand what is their language, what matters to them, we are doing ourselves a disservice because we're just trying to push the sale along, not understanding what's going on within the organization, not thinking like a C-suite. So this is why I connected with you at Sastr, because I was so blown away by, first of all, you were one of the few people that really knew problems that you solve for that weren't tech on the technical side, that were more of these big business problems, and wanted to bring you on because I think a lot of people can follow and learn from you. I love the content that you and your team are putting out there. And I will say, give Blaze a follow on LinkedIn and User Gems. And if you'd like to connect and talk to him about running, he also is in the big Apple. So I can't imagine all the stops you have to make often while you're doing your run routes, but also the content that you're putting out where you're talking about real world scenarios, what's going on within a buyer, what's going on in the process. People can really learn from your journey. So I appreciate having you on here today. Take care, and we will see you on LinkedIn.
Yeah. Celeste, thank you for everything. Awesome meeting you. And yeah, if you're ever in New York with the team, hit me up and we'll hopefully we can cross paths again.
Thank you.
All right.